Okay.
Hi, everybody. Hi. Welcome to CoreLite's Spiritual Weather Report call for August of 2020. And this is Brad, and I'm with my beloved Leslie here in our living room in South Africa. And happy Lion's Gate. I don't know if everybody knows what that is, but I'll talk about it today. It's a very powerful and important window. It's the eighth day of the eighth month of the year, and there's some astrological alignments that are very powerful. So we'll be talking about that today. And I just started, I just wanted to share just a quick little anecdote with you. I'm full of the white lion energy, and it's very inspiring. So I just thought I'd share this little piece of magic with you before we get started. Leslie's sitting here smiling ear to ear because she knows what I'm about to say. So our friend Linda Tucker, who runs the White Lion Trust nearby here, she invited Kellyanne and I to come to the White Lion Trust for a ceremony on Friday the 7th. And it was an opening ceremony with about a dozen indigenous friends, indigenous African friends, including some elders. And we did a ceremony to open the way for the Lion's Gate portal, which was yesterday. And it's not just one day. It's something that lasts for actually a few weeks. So we're in that window right now. The peak of it was yesterday, but we're certainly in the power of it. So that's why I want to share with you about this today. And it was just one of the most magical experiences because we had a fire, big fire outside, and we sat in a circle under the stars, and we were chanting, and the lions were roaring in the background the whole time, and it was just absolute magic. So I want you to know that like last month, that white lion energy is with us right now. We are being infused with it. It's here with us in the living room, and we're going to be beaming it to you. And it's also just in the air in general on the planet right now because of this Lion's Gate portal that's open. And again, I said we'll talk about that today. Yeah, and Leslie's saying it, and it will stay open for a while. So anyway, that's exciting. And I guess just to acknowledge before we get started that, you know, what a time we're in. I think you can all hear Leslie chiming in. She's saying, yeah, no kidding. The energy is just continuing to accelerate. And it's been a very, very bumpy ride for many people on the Corona coaster, as I heard somebody call it the other day. So I just want to ask you how you're all doing on the Corona coaster ride, and wanting you to know that Leslie and I are with you. We're in circle with you, holding space. We're all together in this, and even though we're here in South Africa, we're feeling all of you, wherever you are in the world. I know most of you are in North America, and I know it's especially intense right there. So we feel as though we've been placed here like chess pieces in this quiet little corner of the world to hold space for what's happening right now. And I know how challenging it is for most people, especially in America. And so I just want you to know that we're feeling you closely. We're tuning in all the time and feeling what's happening there and staying abreast of it, talking to many of you and just keeping tabs on how things are going. So just know that you have our love and our support. It's with you inwardly all the time. So as always, we're going to start with a guided meditation, and then we'll move into some talking, and at the end we'll share some questions that people wrote in, some really excellent sharings and questions that came in, so we'll read some of those. And if you have any questions or sharing that come up during the call, you're welcome to write them in on the board. Barbara, maybe before I get started, maybe you'd like to just share with people how they can do that. And if there's time at the end, we'll be happy to, you know, include your sharing and your questions that you write in.
It has to be done through the web. You can't do it on the telephone if you're calling in. So you'd have to connect through the web. It's one of the options that you have available. And then there's a Q&A board, and you can just fill your question in there.
Thank you, Barbara.
Sure.
So before we get started with the guided meditation, as always, I just want to share a little bit about what's happening in case you're new to Core Light and new to these calls. What happens is that my beloved Leslie sits here next to me giving a Shakti transmission. And Shakti is the Sanskrit word for a very healing and uplifting energy of unconditional love. And even though she has chosen not to speak anymore when we do events, she still is sending this transmission. So she's in silence, and we invite you to be meditative throughout the call and receive this transmission. Whether you're with us live today or you're listening to them later, I know many people listen later, and it doesn't matter. We're all part of the field. We're all connected. And at that level, time and space don't even exist. Time and space only exist in the third dimension. So we invite you to tune in and relax and be with us in these other levels of reality beyond time and space. And this is the place where we are all connected in the heart and in unity and in love. So we'll all be receiving this transmission, not just during the guided meditation, it's especially during the guided meditation, but also during the call. And it's a field that we're all participating in and generating together. And again, that's whether or not you're with us live right now. So I invite you now to close your eyes and be comfortable wherever you are. If you're multitasking, I invite you to pause for a few moments and just give yourself this gift of stopping and relaxing for a few moments and really tuning in to receive this gift of healing energy and relaxation. So if you're sitting in a chair, it's best to keep your spine as straight as possible while still being relaxed. And take some long, slow, deep breaths. Breathing in light. Breathing out any tension or shadow. Breathing in the love and the life force that surrounds you. Breathing out any place where you might be holding on to stress or shadow. Breathing in the present moment. Breathing out any worries about past or future. And just being right here, right now, in this present moment. Giving yourself the gift of the present. No accident that they're the same meaning, those two words. And now I invite you to, as you continue your breathing, feel and visualize a warm liquid pouring over the top of your head, like honey or like a soft, gentle waterfall or gentle, misty rain. Just feel this pouring over you gently and warm, and every place it touches, your muscles relax. Relax the scalp and the forehead. Let it pour over the forehead and the eyebrows and pouring over into your eye sockets, relaxing your eyeballs. And just allowing your eyeballs to relax so much that they just fall back into their sockets. And relaxing your temples and your ears. All the muscles around your eyes, the hundreds of tiny little muscles. And I'm just turning off my phone. I'm sorry about that. I'm beeping. Just continue to breathe while I turn my phone off. And feel this relaxation happening all across your face, the nose, the cheeks, the mouth, ears. Letting go any tension, the jaw, the back of the tongue, especially the back of the tongue. When we relax the back of the tongue, we relax that whole region of the back of the head and the neck and the shoulders. Just take a moment to focus there. Just letting go. Breathing the light in. Breathing out the tension. We hold so much tension in the shoulders, especially. Relaxing that area. Feel the warm liquid pouring down your arms, all the way down to your wrists and hands and fingers. Relaxing all those muscles. Relaxing the torso, feel the liquid pouring over your upper chest and your upper back. Down the torso, lower back and the abdomen. Just letting go. Feel it pouring over the pelvis and relaxing the psoas muscles. The muscles that run down the front of your hips, on either side of your hips. That's another place where you relax those muscles, you relax a whole region, the whole pelvic region. So just take a moment, breathe light into those psoas muscles, the pelvic region. Feel the midsection of your body just letting go. Breathing the light in, slowly and deeply. Breathing all the way down into the lower part of your lungs. Filling up your lungs with light all the way down to the bottom. Releasing all the stale air. All the stuck energy that's trapped in there. Let it all out, each breath. Feeling this warm, gentle liquid pouring over your legs, the thighs and the hamstrings, down the calves and the shins, all the way down to the feet and the toes. So nice to relax. Just allow this. We forget how important relaxation is. It's the foundation on which the enlightening of our consciousness happens. And we don't often give it to ourselves enough. So just allow yourself to let go, completely let go. Nothing to think about, nothing to worry about. Just relaxing all the muscles of the body. Just going completely yin, receptive, receiving the transmission of healing golden white light that Leslie is sending to you. I'll be quiet for a few moments, and I'll allow you to scan your body again from scalp to toes, just looking for any place where you might still be holding on to tension. and consciously breathe the light into those areas and breathe out tension, letting go completely. And now I invite you, while you maintain this level of relaxation and continue to deepen into it with your breathing, I invite you to put your attention in the cave of Brahman. And if you were with us last month, you remember we focused on this, so this will be another opportunity to practice that. And if you're new to these calls, I'll talk you through how to find the cave of Brahman, which is a powerful center in your subtle body, which connects you with the cosmos. And it's right in the center of the head. So where you find it is by drawing an imaginary line from the point between the eyebrows straight back into the center of your head. And then also draw a line between your ears, an imaginary line between your ears, and where those two lines intersect is the center of your head. See if you can locate that place energetically and put your attention there. It's the place where the pineal, pituitary, and hypothalamus reside. A mystical place known by the ancients. It was taught in the mystery schools how to work with this place, ancient mystery schools. And if you're not able to find it, that's okay. You can just set the intention that you'd like to find it, like to feel it one day, and it will happen. It's not a trying. You don't try. You just relax and put your attention in that place in the center of your head and practice holding it there for as long as you can. And feeling this very special, it's like a vortex or a portal. The connection with the cosmos. Connection with the invisible realms. When you find it, you'll know it because your thought stops and you can feel the energy expand beyond that place in the middle of your head. It will encompass your head. You'll feel as though your head is maybe larger than it actually is physically. You'll feel the energy surrounding the cranium in your aura. And you'll feel the crown chakra naturally open. The crown chakra, for those of you who are new, is what sits on top of the head like a crown that a king or a queen would wear. And it's also known as the thousand-petaled lotus. So you can visualize a lotus flower on the top of your head opening up petal by petal, unfurling itself, opening up. Both of these things happen naturally, opening of the crown and the deepening into the cave of Brahman with practice. It's not a doing, more of a being and a feeling. As you become yin, become receptive, it's a natural experience. So again, whether you're feeling it or not, that's okay. Just set the intention that you'd like to and just relax, and you'll have an experience at some point. So for right now, whether you're feeling it or not, I invite you to visualize and feel this crown chakra opening up and out above your head like a funnel. Opening up and out. And see your energy of your core that is inside you, the core of light inside you. It's also known as the Sushumna, which runs down the center of the body like a luminous tube of light. And I'd like you to feel and visualize that tube of light exiting the top of your head and going straight up into the heavens, up into the celestial realms, all the way out into the formless void of space. Feel and visualize that it's connecting with a galaxy, perhaps, or with some kind of star system. Whatever you would like to visualize. A spiral galaxy spinning, and see it and feel it sending its light down into your core, down inside your body. You might like to visualize and feel a group of angels or ascended masters or beings who you know love you from the invisible realms, surrounding you and pouring light down into the top of your head. Or a large group of hands from the ascended masters surrounding the top of your head, pouring light down into your head. Whatever you care to see, just do that now. Just visualize the light pouring down in. And there's a lot of it. There's this Lion's Gate portal that we're in right now. So there's a cosmic energy that I'll speak about later in the call today, pouring down in to the top of your head. It's filling you up with golden white light. Warm, relaxing, blissful energy. It's the energy of love, the energy of joy, pouring down into you. So fill up your whole body with it. Fill up your aura with it. Feel every single cell of your body soaking it up, trillions of little sponges. Visualize yourself as sponges, trillions of sponges soaking up the light, golden white light of the celestial realms. Filling up your aura, filling up your body. So much that it fills up your arms down to your hands and your fingers. And the light begins to shoot out your fingertips, filling up your body so much that it fills up your legs all the way down to your feet and your toes. And the light begins to shoot out the tips of your toes because you're so full of this beautiful golden white light. And now let's practice what's known as the inner smile. And you can do it by turning up the corners of your mouth just an eighth of an inch. Doesn't have to be more than that. But you can smile if you want, but at least... So we have a friend visiting us, South African friend Ilse is with us, and we're all smiling right now, practicing the inner smile. So I invite you to do that with us. So just enjoy it. And now I invite you, while you practice this inner smile, feel the joy of filling up with the light. I invite you to put your attention in the root chakra. The root chakra is at the base of the spine, the perineum. And when you put your attention there, feel how naturally that area of the body relaxes. And opens, the root chakra naturally opens when you relax and just put your attention there. And then drop your grounding cord down into the center of the earth. Connect your grounding cord with the core of the earth and draw up into you the beautiful grounding energy of Mother Earth. Feel yourself relaxing into Mother Earth so much that you just melt into her arms like a little baby relaxes into the arms of its mother. Just completely letting go and surrendering to her embrace, feeling gravity gently pull you towards her. Relaxing, letting go, feeling her support via the chair and the floor. Rising up to meet your energy. Feel that beautiful grounding, anchoring earth energy coming up into the body through the soles of the feet, up your legs, and all the way up the core of your body, up to the heart. Co-mingling the energy of the earth with this beautiful celestial energy that we've brought in. And feel how those energies meet in the heart, which is the center of your being. It's the meeting place between heaven and earth, the heart. So just be with that commingling of the celestial and terrestrial energies. right in your heart, feeling the love, practicing the inner smile. And while we all hold this beautiful space, I'm going to say a prayer and an invocation for our gathering today. We call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the self that we all are. We call on all the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support, who have our soul's highest purpose in mind. We invite you in. We're also calling on the heart of the lions, the heart of the white lions of Timbavati, to surround us during this call. Feel that energy of love and protection that the lions provide. Safety, courage, heart, courage. Core being the heart. So we invite you all in and we ask that you please surround us in a beautiful cocoon of healing white light today. Uplift us. Guide our conversation into the highest wisdom, the highest love. We offer our deepest gratitude for the opportunity to gather today to share our love, share this sacred space at this most amazing time on planet Earth, at this pivot point for human evolution, which is so challenging for so many. And sometimes it's difficult to feel the gratitude for it. So we ask for support in feeling that gratitude. We especially give thanks for these bodies that we wear for a few short years on this beautiful planet and the opportunity to share this time today in love and in light. With deepest, deepest gratitude, Alalaho. Alalaho is Tibetan for Amen. It means, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? So I invite you now to slowly relax and open your eyes. Slowly wiggle your fingers and toes when you're ready to open your eyes and come back into the room. And if you want to just stay in meditation, you can. You don't have to open your eyes. I know many people need to multitask, so this is the time. But again, if you can just relax and remain yin and receptive, feel this energy coming in throughout the call today. It's a very powerful energy right now. I'm not sure if you're feeling it or not. But as I said, it's called the Lion's Gate, and that's the eighth day of the eighth month of the year. And the Lion's Gate is when the star Sirius aligns with our sun. And our sun, of course, is in Leo right now, which is the lion. And so it's known as the Lion's Gate. And so it's when Sirius is rising, or when Sirius starts to become visible in the sky. And this is not something new. It's not New Age. This is ancient. This is many millennia old. Many civilizations throughout history tracked Sirius, including the Dogon tribe of northern Africa, the ancient Egyptians, and others. Sirius, nobody, of course, is certain why they tracked Sirius, but they certainly did. And we know that it is the second brightest star in our sky, after our own sun. So it's a very bright star, and sometimes it's called the spiritual sun. The energy of Sirius, it tends to bring out the best and the worst in humanity. And there's a theory that I learned recently that part of what happens with this is that Sirius shares, we share some kind of energy line, some kind of magnetic line between us and Sirius, because it's in the same spiral arm of the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy that we're in. And there's some theory that the energy of Sirius, which is, you know, so incredibly powerful, it literally dwarfs the brightness of our sun. And that energy runs down this energy line and really has a profound effect on Earth. And so when it aligns directly with our sun, as it does at the beginning of August, it creates a special power. I also just went, I read something really interesting about this that you may or may not know, and that is that the Dogon people of Northern Africa, this indigenous tribe of Africa, they've had this in their oral history for, I don't know, millennia, I guess, or hundreds of years anyway. And they've always talked about Sirius as two stars, as a binary star system. And our own astrologers, astronomers at least, didn't discover Sirius B. They discovered that there are two stars in the Sirius system until this, I don't know how long ago, it was a few decades ago. But, you know, we didn't have the technology to see that until recently. So the Dogon people somehow knew about this, and how could that be? And one can speculate that it's the beings from Sirius who came here to be with them. And that is their lore. Their lore is that the star beings, they know them well, and they received all kinds of teachings from the star beings. So we have, the Earth has this connection with Sirius from ancient times. And I'm sure some people on the call know that many of us, our souls originate from Sirius. And I am serious about that. Sirius is a star system, a binary star system. And it also represents liberation. So this is a time where we're feeling those intense energies. And I guess, you know, something else I want to share about this time that feels important is, I remember Leslie used to talk with us about this 30 years ago. She would always say that the month of August was perhaps the most powerful month of the year. And it's a time for a gathering of energies. And you can think of it as a, like a supercharged full moon or a new moon or an equinox or a solstice. So it's a time, as Leslie always said, when it's an excellent time to gather your energy, to make commitments, new commitments to your spiritual awakening, to recommit, to manifest the things that you need in this life, whatever that might be, to set the intentions, to, you know, have a clean out, have a purge, do the ceremonies, do the intention thing that you need for your life. It's a good time to clean out, to clear out. It's about death and rebirth. And to ask yourself, what do you want to birth? What is in your highest destiny? What is it that you want to birth? And this is the time where the energies gather. It's as though we're preparing for an entire year to come. And it can be so intense that if people aren't aware of what's happening, it can be a very shadowy month. It can push people into shadow. Or if you know how to work with the energy and you're conscious of it, it can be a time for fueling your growth, for intensifying and fueling your expansion and consciousness. And it all depends on how you choose to play it out. So it's a preparation. And it's a time when there's a new template in consciousness that's being laid right now for the collective. And that applies to each of us individually as well. We each have our own individual part in that. So So it's a time for preparing. It's a time for pulling out all of our spiritual tools that we may need to use to harness the intensity of the energy. I got a communication from my friend Jeff, and I'm sure Jeff is on the call tonight, and his path has been a Native American path. He lived with the Lakota people for many years, and he told me that the first week of August is when the Lakota usually do their sun dance, and that it's a very sacred time for them. It's the time to bring life to the people for the coming year. And it's interesting that there's a connection between the Lakota and the indigenous people of southern Africa, in that there's the tradition of the white buffalo calf for the Native Americans, and there's the tradition of the white lion here. As most of you know on the call, if you've been with Corelight for any amount of time, you know that we have a deep connection with the white lions here. We work with them often. And Timbavati is the only place on earth where the white lions ever have appeared in the wild. So it's a very sacred area. There's something very special about this particular place, which I could go into, but I won't. I've done it on other calls, and most of you know it. But we're very blessed. Leslie and I have always felt very blessed that her guides whispered in her ear, get this piece of land here. Because we want you here. We want you working with the sacred energy, where the energies are amplified. So anyway, I share that with you. There's also the numerology, you know, of the eighth day of the eighth month. I've heard Linda Tucker was telling me Friday that many shamans regard this time as the beginning of an important series of sacred dates, because there's the ninth day of the ninth month, the tenth day of the tenth month, and so on through the end of the year. And it's as though it's a series of stepping stones into our year ahead. Those are all sacred dates which originate right now. And again, this is not a one-day thing. It's not just the eighth of the eighth. Today is the ninth. But we are in the heart of it, and it does last for a few weeks. I was reading something the other day. Somebody said that there's something special that goes through the 13th of August. I'm not sure what that is, but maybe if you know, you can write it in on the board and tell us, and we'll read it later. But I also want to point out, just before we talk about the topic du jour on the call today, Leslie's birthday is this week. She's her birthday is Wednesday, the 12th, and we're inviting you to participate in the birthday celebration. Leslie's going to be offering a Shakti transmission throughout the day on Wednesday. So we invite you to tune in and receive. If you have a meditation practice that you'd like to stop and have a meditation periodically throughout the day, just tune in to this energy you're feeling now, and you will receive it. And I also want to just take a moment to thank all the friends, students, and graduates who participated in the gift that we're going to give Leslie on Wednesday. She doesn't know what it is, so I'm not going to speak about it right now. I'm not sure, Gossamer. Yeah, I'm feeling that too. I don't know if you can hear Leslie or not, but I've got my headset on, and she's talking about how she's feeling this beautiful Gossamer energy right now. It is with us, so please do take the opportunity to tune into that right now. It's especially in the crown. It's as though there are filaments. I'm sure all of our crown chakras are connected right now, but I'm feeling what she's feeling. It's a very deep, indrawn state. It's actually difficult to speak right now, so forgive me. but it's a very joyful energy too, so I hope it's uplifting you as well. I know we all need it. So yeah, so the energies are continuing to accelerate, and I guess I would say it's a very scary time for many many people. It's a time, we've been talking about this for the last few months, and it seems like it's been building each month. Last month, we talked about the fear and the chaos ramping up, and I would say it's even more so this month. So I guess we talked about it last month. I don't want to really dwell on it again. I think it's just important to acknowledge that it's happening and to say that I feel right now that so much of it is about the fear of the unknown. And the fear of the unknown can either be a negative feedback loop, which leads us deeper and deeper into the fear, and that's where we become more and more afraid of, you know, whatever might be around the next corner, whatever disaster might befall us. Or the choice is that we can see it differently. We can be more like an artist who is looking at a blank canvas. And that sense of the unknown, of the blank canvas, comes with this beautiful sense of awe and wonder at the possibilities ahead. And we can allow that formlessness of the unknown to uplift us and to inspire us into creating, into new ideas. And I guess I feel like it's just important to name this, that if we're aware of it, it's a much more productive use of our time to focus on creating something new right now rather than dwelling on the fear and the loss of the old, the crumbling of the old. It's just a much more enjoyable and inspiring way to live. And so I offer that. I know this is a reminder to most of you. But I think it's very important that we all remember this, that especially at a time like this, that we can either have the fear and the worry, or we can have the love and the joy. But we can't have both at the same time. They literally are mutually exclusive. So it's either fear and love. Excuse me. It's either fear or love. It's either worry or joy. And it's not going to happen simultaneously. So I would say it's a time when we need to use all of our spiritual tools and be very vigilant about this particular practice of releasing the fear and the worry and choosing the love of joy whenever possible. And what came to me today as I was meditating on what to speak about today was to ask you a question. And the question is a simple one. And it's, how are you doing with your witnessing? So I'm going to pause for just a moment, and I would invite you to just ask that question. How are you doing with your witnessing? If you're new to Core Light and you don't know what that means, I would recommend that you read our book, The Marriage of Spirit book. There's a wonderful chapter in there about the witness being the neutral observer, the part of us that is connected to the higher self that sees from a higher level. And it's actually a technique that you can practice. And I actually, lately, for the past many months, I've been talking about the witness every month. So my apologies to those of you who tune in every month. But really, seriously, this is our opportunity to witness. And the reason I talk about it every month is because this is our awakening. This is the witness is our awakened self. So the more we live in that witness, the more we wake up, the more we're able to be in a place of non-judgment, the more we can keep our hearts open. And, you know, these are things we can do even during the most challenging times, like now. So it's the monthly reminder. Just practice witnessing. And it's a simple practice, actually. So just a reminder about it. And the other thing that came up to share with you, there's quite a few things that I really want to share about today. But one of them is a simple practice that Leslie channeled two decades ago. And it's known as the eighth key. For those of you who have read our book, Returning to Oneness, the seven keys of ascension. And after the book was written, Leslie channeled an eighth key, I'm in the middle, or actually almost finished with doing a new edition of the book. It's the third edition of the book. We're just about to sell out of the second edition. So we're very excited about launching this new third edition of the book with a new cover and a new chapter on the eighth key. And the eighth key, the reason I'm bringing it up is because the eighth key is the antidote to this fear we're talking about. And I know many of you know the key already, but it's don't worry, be happy. And I know that sounds cliche, but the truth is it's one of the most profound spiritual practices that we can have. So I'm not going to dwell on it because I know that I have talked about it recently in the calls, but I remind everybody about don't worry, be happy. It's a simple aphorism, and it's the quickest, easiest way to remember this technique that fear and love do not exist simultaneously. So if we just remind ourselves from time to time, don't worry, be happy. I also want to mention about this, the key relates to the thymus chakra. And forgive me if I've mentioned this in the last few months. I'm not remembering, but I'll just say it right now. The thymus chakra is above the heart and below the throat. And it is actually also known as higher heart. And the higher heart, well, if the heart chakra, the fourth chakra, is the individual center for our individual love and our individual heart center, the higher heart or the thymus chakra is the place that represents more of our collective heart. So it's a place where we experience the love of the earth, the love of humanity, the love of all animals, the love of nature, the collective love that we feel, the tapping into the collective heart. So I share this with you just because it feels like it's an important time. If we practice that key, the other practice that Leslie told us is that you can actually tap on that place. You can tap on the thymus chakra. And it's if you find your sternum, which is the place where the collarbone meets the neck, and it's a little notch right below the front of your neck, right below the neck, you'll feel a little notch in your skeleton there. And if you go down about three fingers, you'll feel a little bump in your breastbone, and that's the center of the thymus chakra. So you can tap on that place, and it activates that chakra. And so the practice is you can tap on it, activate the chakra while you're thinking the words, don't worry, be happy. And that is also one of the most valuable things we can do to improve our health is activate the thymus chakra. I've recommended lately to listen to Leslie's audio, her guided meditation, the new thymus chakra, which is on our website. And I know many of you have it already and have been listening to it. But if you're new and you haven't, it's a great tool to awaken this chakra, which is a very important way to strengthen our immune system. And especially at this time with the virus around, I know that that's a very important thing. So I was reminded to share that with you today. So one of the other really overriding processes that I wanted to talk about today, as I was tuning in on what to share, this process came up and it felt really apropos to talk about with you. And it's about blaming and judging. I feel like it's rampant in the collective right now. And we need to be especially careful about blaming and judging right now, because we're actually being encouraged to blame and judge, especially the media. We need to be especially aware if we're watching media, which most of us are, trying to keep track of things, and whether it's mainstream or not, it's very, very easy to polarize right now because the media is stirring up the fear and the chaos and the division. And if we buy into that narrative that we're being fed, it is very easy to slip into blame and judgment. And it can be very subtle. I'm not even talking about gross blame and judgment, but I know I just speak for myself that it can be very subtle. And if we're in our witness, if we're practicing the witness and we're watching the thoughts, we might get surprised when we find ourselves subtly blaming or judging. Maybe it's other people for their opinions, you know, whatever side of the mask argument you happen to be on, you might find yourself judging people for being on the other side of that argument. You might find yourself blaming or judging your favorite politicians or, you know, organizations or what have you. And I would say it's actually an epidemic proportion right now on the planet. And there is no accident with that. So it's very important to remember that when we blame and when we judge, even if it's subtle, we are actually participating in the victim tyrant consciousness that is keeping us locked in to the lower dimensions, keeping us locked into the system of separation. It's that victim tyrant consciousness that holds us into the old paradigm where we're experiencing the wild swings of duality. And as we talk about so often on these calls, the victim tyrant consciousness is the biggest knot in the human collective. It's the biggest sticking point in our evolution right now. The entire planet is working on the process of victim tyrant consciousness. The number one thing that prevents us from accessing the heart, from accessing love, from living in what we would call the new paradigm of the heart. So I guess I could go on about that, but I'm going to pause there. I can feel like this is mostly a reminder for everybody. But I do want to just underscore how easy it is right now to blame and to judge and to invite everybody to pay attention, you know, to just witness that. And, you know, the list of contentious topics is a long one. So it's a time to take extra special care about it and to not participate in that energy of division, which is stronger than ever right now. So I guess what I wanted to talk about in relation to that are the spiritual principles, two spiritual principles that help us move out of that. And one is compassion, and one is discernment. I was going to talk about discernment last month on the last call, and we ran out of time. So we'll speak about it today. But one of the ways that we can increase our level of compassion, this is my own practice, it's my own experience that this works, and I'll bet you many of you do this too, but it's to realize that most the people on the planet who we would call tyrants, even if it's a petty tyrant in your life, but most tyrants, quote unquote, on the planet don't think they're tyrants. Most people are actually aligning with their own ideas of what's right and what's wrong. And we're all doing what we feel is right. So if we're all doing that, how is it that I could possibly judge somebody, you know, judging whether they're right or wrong? It's not in alignment. It's not in truth. The truth behind most of the division that we're experiencing right now is that almost everybody agrees on one thing, and we all come together on agreeing that something is terribly wrong with the way things are going on our planet. the systems are not working anymore. And almost everybody agrees that something has to change. So the place where we're all divided is how to bring that change about. So it's really the how part of the equation that's creating this division. So, for example, one side of the polarity might think that it's to have a system that's maybe more socialist in nature, where the government's role includes taking care of people. And the other side might think that the best way is to have a really minimalized government where the emphasis is much more on the rights of the individuals to do what they want. And, you know, this is the typical left versus right thing. And the left tends to see the right nowadays, anyway, as diluted and tyrannical. And it's equal and opposite. The right tends to see the left as diluted and tyrannical. And each side feels superior. So if you think about the situation, it's actually comical, because when you look at it from a higher perspective, you know, it's we're all actually on the same page, and yet we're choosing to divide ourselves based on this erroneous understanding. And there seems to be no way out. It seems to just keep getting more and more polarized by the day. So really, the only way out is the middle way, what the Buddhists call the middle way. And of course, you know, if you're on this call, you know that that's through the heart. And I'm guessing that you know that it's through the heart. And as we have talked about almost every month for several months, the practice we can do to hold the middle way is holding the tension between the two sides of the polarities, and allowing, as we hold that tension, as Carl Jung said, allowing for a third option to manifest. So the way out is definitely not through blaming and judging. When we do that, we're indulging in the polarity, and we're connecting to the tyrant side of the polarity. So at that point, we're stuck and we're in a power struggle. And when we can access the heart in this holding of the tension between the polarities as much as possible, we can practice having compassion for the one who we feel is the tyrant. So I just want to underscore that. And it's about practicing compassion for the tyrant. And it doesn't, I just want to be clear, I'm not talking about becoming a doormat. I'm not talking about, you know, just rolling over on your back and letting people walk over you. That's not what this is about. There are times where we have to stand up and say no to some. That, you know, if somebody else is hurting another person, we are complicit if we don't do anything. So we do need to stand up and say no. Or if somebody's attacking us, we need to stand up and match that force with an equal and opposite force and say no. So, you know, there may be times where we need to participate in peaceful, nonviolent protests. Or, you know, if there's a petty tyrant in our lives, we might need to practice drawing some healthy boundaries and you know, saying no to a bully, that kind of thing. But having compassion after we've done those things, if we feel that we need to do them, is the practice. It's finding a place inside us where we see what I was saying before about, you know, the tyrant has its own idea of what's right and what's wrong. And that person is just practicing that. So we do that ourselves. So if we realize we put ourselves in their shoes, we can find a place of compassion, which helps us not to blame and judge. Okay, so let's move on. I want to also talk about discernment for a little bit. Discernment, excuse me. Discernment is one of the high spiritual qualities that's critical for our lives nowadays. And we can discern without judging. We can use our higher faculties of discernment to transcend the third dimensional consciousness that keeps us locked into polarity. It's about tapping into wisdom, the higher chakras. It's about using the heart center. It's about finding that place in the heart, which is our center of innate knowing. The heart is where we know things. We just know them innately. We know that they're true. We don't go into the head to find that level of innate truth. We go to the head. The head is the center of our learned knowledge. I'm not talking about using our head to figure something out. And it's certainly, I'm not talking about judging. But this discernment that I am talking about, it comes through the practicing of the witness. It comes through being in a neutral observer place where we're not polarizing, we're not holding on to either side of a polarity. Excuse me, I have to take a drink of water. Pardon me. Talk about activating the higher chakras. So let's see, where was I? I was talking about discernment and
the neutral observer.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, the neutral observer. The neutral observer resides up in the third eye area. And that's the place where we bring in a state of unity consciousness. It's a place where we're able to see from a very high place. We can see into the matrix. We can see into the truth of the situation from a place beyond the duality of the matrix. So practicing the discernment is crucial right now for gaining that altitude of perspective where we're able to hold that place of unity consciousness. And what an amazing opportunity we're being given right now. The time is ripe. We are in a place, we are being given the opportunity to process and release this old victim tyrant construct, and it's ready to be released for good. It's like this is our graduation time. It's done. We're completing it. And the tyrants, the tyrants are running amok. I mean, they're just, all you have to do is take a look at the news and you just see, whoever we perceive the tyrants to be, they're there. It is full blown, highlighted for the entire world to see. And it's as though I'm remembering the title of an old book that we read long ago called The Last Waltz of the Tyrants. That's what's happening. So this is our opportunity. We get to watch them do their last waltz, and we get to practice our spiritual practice of witnessing, practicing compassion, practicing discerning. And as we do this, we remember to process ourselves and remember that we are not victims. And we're not tyrants either. We are souls who have played both roles of victim and tyrant over many lifetimes. We're complete with it now. And we can let go of the labeling, blaming, and we can let go of projecting our anger. and even possibly hatred onto whoever we perceive to be the tyrant. And that is certainly not going to serve us. And even though it may feel good in the moment, it doesn't serve. So we witness those thoughts, we let them arise, we don't suppress them, we don't stuff them into the unconscious, because if we think, oh, that's a terrible thought and I'm not going to think it, not going to allow it, then we're, you know, practicing the suppression, and we know where that leads. If we can acknowledge the thought, you know, I hate this tyrant who oppressed this poor victim, or poor me, or I blame this person who did this to me. And, you know, if we allow those thoughts to arise and we witness them, and we use the power of our meditation to let those thoughts pass across the screen of our awareness like a little butterfly flitting across the air in front of us and then going out of view, that is the opportunity. It's the ripe opportunity to practice the witness of whatever is arising. We just love it for what it is. We let it go. And we move back into the heart and back into our compassion. That's the practice. So we're getting to see this division so clearly right now so that we can identify it, can name it, and find the place of unity consciousness. And I think the intensity of this window that we're in right now, part of the purpose of it, is so that we can see these polarities being highlighted so clearly right now, so that we will find the unity. So I invite you to join me in practicing that. So I've been talking for a long time. I think there's just one more thing I'd like to share, maybe a couple more things to share quickly before we open to the questions, Barbara. I guess there's another question I feel brewing here, and the question I want to ask everybody is, where are you in your grief cycle? Because as we've been talking about, this is a time of grieving. We're grieving the loss of the old way of life. We're grieving a loss of an old system. And even though, you know, we know that it needs to crumble and it wasn't working, it's not working, we need to let it go. There's still a process of grieving to go through with this. And I would say that's one of the most important practices we can all be continuing to practice right now. So I'm just asking you as a little bit of a reminder, where are you in that? And as a reminder, the stages of grief are denial. And denial can be part of the shock and the shattering experience, you know, when there's a trauma, when our world has a trauma, you know, when we're handed an event or something that traumatizes us, we have a shock and a shattering, and very often we'll go into denial at that point that it's actually happening. So just to put that out there, that is a stage. And, you know, these, I was going to say that it's a beginning stage, but I stopped myself from saying that, because the truth is this is not a linear progression. Grief is a soup. And we're in the soup with the grief, and we're feeling all this mess of feelings. It's not linear, it's messy. And so if you find yourself in a shock or a shattering one day, just recognize that that is part of the grief process, and it is something to acknowledge and witness and allow. The next stage is, and I'm saying the next stage, but again, no linearity here, but the next stage is anger. And I know quite a few people who are in righteous indignation about what's happening on the planet right now. And, you know, rightly so. We need to allow those feelings of anger and rebelliousness and, you know, expressing ourselves if we're feeling that. We need to allow it, but also to witness it and acknowledge that this is part of the soup of the grief that we're in. And the third stage is bargaining. You know, we're probably doing that every day, I would think. Depression is the next stage. Depression is also a very common emotion to be in right now. Many people are feeling very depressed about the state of the earth. So I invite you to, you know, recognize that if you're feeling that, you're in the soup. And it's part of the grief soup to be in that depression. And so you can allow it. You know, we can all allow that to pass through us. And remember that it's a necessary part. Grieving is essential. We have to give the heart its due to allow ourselves to feel what we need to feel. And when we've done that, when we've come through enough of that, we move into the final stage, which is acceptance. And that's a very powerful place, because when we're in acceptance of what's happening, and we've grieved and we've let go, it's an opening into a new potential, you know, grieving the loss of the old and accepting that it's leaving or it's left, and opening to what's new, opening to what we were talking about earlier in the call, the blank canvas, the unknown, the formlessness. What's next, you know? We're so afraid of that most of the time. But this is it, you know, when we've grieved enough about what's happening on our beloved planet, and it's hard to watch. You know, they say, many people who practice this say that you can only go as high as you're willing to go low. And if you've grieved deeply, you can also ascend to the heights of joy. And that's been my personal experience, too, over the last many years with my own grieving practice. It is a practice to allow the heart to have its due, to give yourself that time to cry or feel the loss or whatever stage of the grieving process you're in, whatever the part of the soup you're tasting. And then move beyond it. You know, let it go. When it's ready to go, just don't hold on to it. Don't wallow in it if you don't need to. Let it go. And allow yourself to experience the joy. You know, do practice the inner smile and let yourself feel that. It's equally as important. Doing both is important. Okay, so I'd like to conclude this part of the discussion today by saying that I feel like what's happening right now is a window. You know, this is our potential window to vision, to dream into what could be. It's a time that can be wildly inspiring if we want it to be. We're at the dawning of a new era. This is a whole new era. And so what's coming is going to be much more utopian and much more heart-centered than we could probably even imagine. So it's a new template. This is a new template in consciousness that's birthing. But first, we have to have the dismantling of the old. We have to release, we have to let go of the obsolete consciousness in order for this new template to come forward. And the truth of the matter is that it's probably going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And, you know, I know that that's sad to say, but, you know, let's look at reality, that it's a necessary phase to go through the destruction of the old before the new can be born. It's the caterpillar who in the pupa phase liquefies and literally dissolves into a goo, emerges as this beautiful butterfly. So for us, it's essential to go through a collective dark night of the soul. We have to go through it. There's not going to be any getting around it. But the best thing that we can do is to remember that image of the caterpillar morphing into the butterfly, and to continue our spiritual practice, and to continue to wake up as much as we possibly can to transcend that fear, and to transcend the victim-tyrant consciousness, and to practice those higher states that we're talking about, the witnessing, the surrender, the discernment, the joy, the love, all those higher qualities, to practice those as much as we possibly can. And so I just, the very, very last thing I want to say about this is that I was reminded of a channeling that Leslie did long ago. It was many years ago. And she kind of just went into this very altered state, and she said, "I'm channeling Gaia right now. Gaia is coming through me." And she said, "Gaia is ascending, and she's taking us with her." Gaia said, "Let me do it for you." And I'm summarizing. And essentially, our only job is to hold a frequency of love and peace. And that's how we can help Gaia the most, is simply to hold the frequency of love and peace and to let her do the work for us. So I share that with you. You can practice that part too, just allowing that. So I hope that's helpful. And I'm sure there's much more we could say, but Barbara, I think let's shift gears. Before we go into questions and sharing, tell me about you. How are you doing? And is there something you'd like to share with us today?
Thank you, Brad. This has just been so incredibly wonderful. You know, I just want to say, I can feel how hungry everyone is. I just feel like, you know, we're all congregating around the water hole, and we're just drinking in so much of this energy and what you're sharing and this Lion's Gate, you know. And I wrote down, Brad, you know, we're only able to go as high as we're willing to go low. That was one of the pieces. And with all of this light coming through, coming in, so many times as we have sat with Leslie, she would remind us as we were getting ready to go back to our respective homes that so much light has entered, and as the light enters, it flushes up the shadow. And it feels to me like this is a great push. This is from everything that I've read and heard and felt and been guided, that this is the greatest 8-8 Lion's Gate doorway that we've ever experienced. And, you know, as you're sharing that, you know, it's going to get perhaps a lot worse before it gets better, we're really going to go into the depths. You know, I keep being told, you know, the underbelly of humanity is being ripped open and exposed. And so we are all being asked to look at and own and bring into balance our shadow individually and collectively. So I really wanted to say something about that. And I also want to acknowledge there are quite a few new students on the call this time. And I just want to really... Yes, I just want to really welcome all of you who may be new to this call. Several of you have said this is my first time calling in, so we say hello to you and we welcome you, and we're so grateful that you have found your way here.
Yeah, welcome.
Yes, and so you have really been talking about tyrant victim, and I wanted to bring in the rebel. because what I am noticing now is so many of us have a rebel that is up, and especially around wearing masks or not wearing masks, complying or not complying, the good of the whole versus, you know, me first, me only. And so just to notice, it may be a very subtle rebel. And I was talking to somebody about they were expressing their rebel, and I was talking about looking at deconstructing the rebel. And Leslie has brilliant, brilliant teachings on deconstructing the rebel. And this person said to me, no, I don't want to deconstruct the rebel. I love my rebel. So, you know, the United States, someone was sharing with me that the United States was founded on rebellion. And those who founded the United States were fleeing from tyranny. And they were in great rebellion and wanted to rebel against all rules and regulations. So I just wanted to bring that into the mix. And another piece that I wanted to share is a Native American expression that says, do not judge me until you've walked a mile in my moccasins. So that's the compassion piece that you were so beautifully talking about. And then I wanted to share, too, that I shared with you, Brad, prior to the call, I did a meditation last week. And as I went to sit in meditation, I was bombarded with millions of thoughts, and they felt like they were coming from every direction. And I felt so overwhelmed, you know, as we're dealing with our thoughts, you know, maybe we can take them one at a time and try to rationalize or think through or whatever we do as we process through our thoughts. But this was, there were so many, there was just no way. And so what I heard as I sat in meditation was, yes, thoughts are like wild horses. And I thought, yeah, wild horses, that's it. And then I saw an image of these beautiful wild horses running through this canyon surrounded by mountains. And I heard the voice again say, and why don't you join them? And so I found myself running with the wild horses, and I could feel our flanks touching our shoulders, forgive me, I don't know the correct terminology of horses, but, you know, the shoulders, our legs, our, we were all running together. And I joined in this collective movement that was so exquisite, and all thought ceased. And I was shown that, you know, in all of the animal kingdom, this is how the birds fly together. So join the birds. And this is how the fish swim together. So become one with the fish. And I think we're just really being called to become one, to join together. So I really wanted to share that piece. And the last piece, well, there's
two more. It's a
beautiful
image, Barbara. Thank you.
Thank you
for sharing,
Brad.
That. Gorgeous
thank you.
Image. Yeah.
Thank you. So two more things. One is remember Ho'oponopono. So everything that is being projected out from us is being mirrored back to us. And when we can name the projection, we can then call it back to us. Everything is us. So if you're not familiar with Ho'oponopono, I would highly recommend. It's been around for a lot of years, so I'm sure that most of you know Ho'oponopono very well. So this is a gentle reminder to call that back in. And the last piece I'd like to offer is focusing. And focusing is a body-centered awareness. It's a felt sense awareness. And this is a profound way to develop and strengthen the witness. They call it in focusing self in presence. And what it does is it allows you to say hello to whatever parts of you are arising. And I'll just give you a very brief example of what happened for me. I was washing the dishes the other night, and I was thinking, oh, I really didn't like that, or that wasn't right, or they shouldn't have said that, or she shouldn't have done that, whatever it was, I don't know exactly, but there was just a lot of commentary that was going on as I was in my Zen mode of washing the dishes, and I heard, and say hello to that part. And that totally shifted consciousness. And I actually stopped washing the dishes, and I just stood in the kitchen, and I said hello. And then the thought came, welcome all parts home. And Raymond Diaz, who's a part of Coralite, shared many years ago about when we were kids and we played hide-and-seek, and, you know, whoever was it, you know, would stand at the tree, everybody would hide, and then they'd go find them. And then as dusk came, all the house lights would go on and the parents would call the kids home, say, it's time to come in now. And so the person that was it would stand at the tree and would say, ollie, ollie, oxen free. And everybody knew that it was safe to come home. And Raymond was sharing way back then that that's what he was saying to all of his parts. And that's what I was saying. I started to laugh and started to say, it's safe. Everyone can come home now. Everyone gets an opportunity to be heard. So this is what really strengthens the witness. So I highly recommend that.
Thank you, Barbara.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, okay. Great, Brad. So now we do have a question that I'd love to share with
Barbara, before we say the question, I just one thing. I'd like to announce that the course that I'm going to be teaching is called The New Paradigm of the Heart, Transcending Victim-Tyrant Consciousness. Mm. And it's going to be 6 Sundays starting September 27th going through November 1st. And it's going to be 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time, U.S. Pacific time. And the brochure is just about ready to be sent out. We'll be sending it out in about a week and a half. So be on the lookout in your email. You'll get the brochure, or check our website. You'll see it there. I would love for you, if you feel ready to take a next step with your journey of transcending victim-tyrant consciousness and moving into the permanently opened heart, I'd love to take that journey with you. I feel like it's going to be a profound time for all of us. I can feel this is really what Spirit wants us doing. So please consider joining. Thank you.
Yes.
And Barbara, would you like to remind people how to ask questions if they wanted
to? So we have changed our format a little bit, as many of you may have realized. And so we are taking written questions. So Brad has sent out an announcement and given an opportunity for people to write their questions in. And also to write your questions.
For sharing as well.
Yes. And so there's an opportunity to also share and write on the Q&A board if you're connected through the internet. And I just want to say, Brad, to everyone, there are quite a few people who have asked questions or made comments on the Q&A board, and we'll do our best to share them. And my sense is that many of you are not going to get your question answered or your sharing shared. And my apologies for that, because there are just so many at this point.
Yeah, I apologize as well. We'll do as many as we can. And yes. I love that the questions and sharings that have come in are beautiful and wonderful. So I thank you for that. And please continue to write in, and we'll do as many as we can.
Yes. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. We're just so deeply grateful. This question was written in from Sedona. And Sedona writes about truth with a capital T and truth with a small t, and what to engage and what to rise above. She says, I keep being shown the moment. I and many others made a spiritual commitment to our teacher at Mount Madonna. It was a cosmic moment for me, and I remember it so clearly. Leslie asked us to commit to truth with a capital T and truth with a small t. At least that is how I received it. And then she asked, remember this event? And yes, Sedona, I do very well. Sedona says, I wonder about two things. Keeping my commitment to Leslie, which feels like a very big thing, a cosmic event and binding, and how important it might be for some of us in our community to know the deeper relative 3D global truths with a small t. Because if we all turn away from those small t truths, I wonder what will happen to this world. So the most uncomfortable polarity is knowing the 3D small t truths and speaking those small t truths and be willing to physically die for them versus avoiding knowing these truths and speaking these truths in order to save our lives. And does this mean we might actually have to lie in order to save our lives? What about karmas? During that commitment session, she, meaning Leslie, also asked us to commit to being willing to die for truth, small t, or was it truth, capital T, or both? I will remember my shock and wondering, did I really sign up for this? But I did not bolt, and here I still am. Thank you, Sedona. That was beautiful.
Yeah, thank you, Sedona. It's a great question. So there's a lot. There was a lot in that. It was it packed a lot. So we're going to unpack some of that.
Yes.
Yeah. So first, just to be clear for everybody, when you're talking about truth with a capital T, you're talking about absolute, non-dual truth, or everlasting spiritual truth. And then when you're talking about the truth with the small t, it's a relative truth. It's the truth of the system of separation, or the third dimension, as you call it, the 3D. And those truths with the small t are open to interpretation. They're always fluctuating. Those truths are being used for manipulation purposes and what have you. So there are the 3D facts of the world. So it's like who said what, and this event happened or it didn't happen. The news headlines are supposed 3D facts, et cetera. So I think the kernel of your question is this really important polarity that you named. It's an excellent polarity. And you said it's knowing the 3D truths and speaking those truths and being willing to physically die for them versus avoiding knowing these truths and speaking these truths in order to save our lives. So what I would say is that that's a fantastic polarity to do a square on. So if you're new to Core Light, the squares are a technique that we offer in the Marriage of Spirit book, and it's a profound way to process our egoic structure to evolve into higher consciousness and to release our limitations. So it's a fantastic polarity for a square. I would highly recommend we all do that square. And it's a great polarity to use in our practice that we've been talking about of holding the tension between the two sides and then allowing for the possibility of a third option to manifest. Those are great practices we could all do at home in the coming months. between now and the next call. I just feel like it's important to acknowledge that some people are drawn to researching these 3D truths, and some people are not. And the truth is that either way is okay. So you have to be the one to choose what's right for you. And it may be, for most people, I think it's a combination of both. And it might fluctuate. It might be different for you at different times. And that's the practice of discernment that we were talking about. You know, do you dive into the news? Do you do a news fast? Are you really tracking what's happening? Are you just needing to meditate for a while? And that's your discernment that you need to be with. What's working for you right now? What's your highest path right now? And my personal share here is that I've been on both sides, and I have found that it's critical to use discernment with this, because it's not always the same. Sometimes I'll get a very clear inner knowing that I need to research what's happening in the 3D, researching the truth with the small t, trying to find it. And other times I get very clear guidance not to go there. And, I also will, using my discernment, I'll get very clear on where to look for the information and how to do the research. And that all requires discernment. I think so much of it depends on where we're at on our spiritual path. There are times where we go for very long periods with news blackouts. And even during those periods, I find that if there's something important that Spirit really wants me to know about, it comes to me anyway, even though I'm on a news fast. So, like, for example, a friend might forward me an email, somebody might tell me something, or I might happen to be in a doctor's office and see something on the television. Whatever the method is, somehow Spirit gets me, and often it'll come in threes, you know, three people, three. I'll find in three places the same little tidbit. I think, okay, that's a sign. I need to check that out, whatever that's about. Other times, I'll just have a knowing that I have to do some research. And I guess to add to this, I would say that nowadays we have to be so careful about how and where we're doing this research of these truths with the small t, because there is so much misinformation out there. There's just so much that's not that's being used to manipulate us. It's a huge amount of manipulation going on. So the facts, quote unquote, the small t truths of most situations are completely unclear, and I'm not really sure that anybody knows what's going on. So, for me, my practice with this is that I always approach any research I do with some questions, some general questions, and I always ask them, and they're things like, what is it that whoever wrote this article wants me to believe by reading the article, assuming that there's got to be some stuff in it that is a manipulation. So what is it that they're wanting me to believe? And just to name that, they want me to think Republicans are absurd, or they want me to think Democrats are tyrannical, or, whatever it is. Another question is, who is funding the news? Who's funding the writing of the article? Who's paying for it, in other words? And then a related question is, who benefits? Who benefits from my believing whatever this is about? Usually it's about money or some kind of control. But to ask those questions is very important nowadays, because it's easy to be led down an erroneous path through manipulation. So I guess I would add, if you're somebody who does like to research this truth with a small t, the 3D truth. I would recommend avoiding anything from the mainstream media, anything. The only time to watch that is if you want to know what the powers that be want us to believe, because that's what it's about. Of course, there's a grain of truth in it, and it's hard to know what's the truth and what's not, so it's better just not. I mean, and if you're going to do it, it's really much, much better to get news from organizations that are not funded by private sources, let's say, by government sources or private sources. It's much better to find independent news. And even that, I find even that, a lot of times they draw on mainstream news for the report too. So it's difficult right now. It's very difficult to be discerning what the truth with a small t is. So the path of discernment, I guess that's the key. It's personally speaking, it's what's helped me the most on the path of self-discovery is to use the discernment. It's been, it's a tremendous practice for strengthening the witness, for helping me to constantly remember that we are living in a virtual reality. And maybe this is the main point. It's how strong is your witness? How unshakable can you be in your faith in the divine and in knowing that you are a spiritual being having a human experience and not the other way around, not a human being having occasional spiritual experiences? How unshakable are you in that? And I found, I guess, in the beginning, you know, when I really started doing a lot of research, and if you've been around CoreLight for any period of time, you remember there was a time where we were really looking at this stuff a lot. And I found that in the beginning, if you decide to go down that rabbit hole, and it is a rabbit hole, and it can take you down into some very dark places, you need to do it in doses. You need to do only as much of that research as you can handle, and then you come up for air, and you focus on your spiritual practice. And I think there's more we could say about that, but I'm just going to shift gears. I know we're running out of time. So I guess with Sedona's question, I want to say, Sedona speaks about speaking with others about these truths. And I think whether or not you speak with others about these truths, you're discovering the truth with a small t, it's completely your personal decision. And it really seriously requires discernment. Because the truth is there are probably very few people who really want to know about this stuff. There are very few people who want to do research into the truth of the small t of what's going on in our virtual reality, and it can be scary. So if people don't want to know about it and you're sharing it with them, it can completely backfire. You know, what you think is a fantastic revelation and opens you up is not going to be the same for other people. And if they're not ready to hear it, it's just going to be polarizing and it's going to be a bad experience. It's a lose-lose. So discernment is the key. And I think many people right now are realizing what they want to do is just to focus on the light and the love. And, some people call it the power of positive thinking. And I know many, many people who are in that camp. They don't want to know about the rest. And the truth is that's fine for them. I cannot judge them for that. I cannot say anything is wrong with this picture. You know, if they want to practice the power of positive thinking and that's their path, it's perfect for them. So, for all we know, that's going to be their soul's way of holding the highest vibration that they're capable of for the earth. Mm-hmm. They're doing their service. And so we need to just allow for that. And I think for most of us on this call, that's not our path. I know it's not my path. I like to do the research. I like to try to learn what's really happening in the world, in our virtual reality. Helps me to strengthen my witness and to remember that I'm a soul having a human experience. And for many of us who are very sensitive people, you can feel that there's so much manipulation going on right now. You know, there was just a march of many, there's a discrepancy in the number, but there was a march in Europe. It was either in Berlin or Zurich, I can't remember, but march of the protesters, the protest organizers said it was over a million people. Others, the government people said it was not nearly that many. But they were protesting, saying, why aren't you telling us the truth of what's actually going on here? None of this makes sense. You know, none of this stuff makes sense. Please tell us what's actually going on.
I think that's Beirut talking about, Brad.
There might be one in Beirut, too. I think it's happening other places, but it certainly was Zurich or Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
One article said it was Berlin. They showed a picture, and I think the picture was taken in Zurich, but the article
might have
been
about Berlin. Okay, it's happening right now in Berlin as we speak.
Okay, so there are many places.
Sorry, in Beirut, sorry.
Okay, so there are several places where this is starting to erupt, and I think that's a great thing. You know, it's a great thing that people are standing up to the powers that be and saying, we want to know the truth. And again, it's a small t truth, but we want to know it because that can lead to truth with a capital T. And that's been my experience, is that it has helped me strengthen those aspects of myself that then awaken to a higher truth, a spiritual truth. There's something freeing, very freeing about knowing the truth with a small t, in my experience. It's not for everybody. But if, you know, like I was saying, if you're sensitive, you can feel the manipulation going on. And I would just say that maybe learning about it can sometimes help us to open to a bigger picture and give us that sense of freedom and strengthen our witness that we so long for. And we're going to talk about this particular piece more in the course. I don't want to go into it now. It's a lot to say about it, but I also, there's another piece that I want to add for Sedona for this question, because you talk about whether or not we have to die for truth or whether or not we need to lie to live. And so when I read that, I mean, that's so intense, right? That's it's so great. I'm so happy that you wrote that. It's just so apropos for our times, because I feel like what you're tapping into are past life karmas that so many of us have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're on this call, if you're listening to this call now or in the future, you are very likely a part of this soul group. And, you know, whether you're new to this path or not, I'll just say it anyway. I was not going to say it, but I'm going to say it. And that is that, you know, you may be aware about past lives, and you may be aware that we've all lived probably many lifetimes where we had to make that choice that Sedona is outlining for us. For example, the times where we lived in the witch hunt days of Europe and America, where we were maybe burned at the stake or tortured and killed or whatever for speaking our truth or practicing our spiritual practice. The Spanish Inquisition, Nazi Germany, you know, many times where there were genocides or times when we had to choose to die for the truth, or either that or lie to live. So those were all time periods of extreme victims and tyrants. And we've been there. We've done that. And it's done. it's like we have these chords in us that resonate, you know, these like a piano. When you walk into a room where there's a piano and you strike a tuning fork, whatever note you're striking on the tuning fork, that string on the piano will start to resonate. So that's my sense, is that those chords within us that resonate with those times, those lifetimes I'm describing, they're starting to twang right now, Sedona, because you've had those lives, I've had those lives, many of us have had those lives. Some of us remember them very well. I know I do. And it's incredibly uncomfortable when those, you know, quote unquote memories, they're not actually past. You know, we say past and we say memories, but it's actually, there's no such thing as linear time. So at one level, it's not it's happening now. It's not in the past, but we say the word past for sake of ease because we're in the timeline of past, present, and future. So, and we have those memories start to resurface emotionally and spiritually and even mentally, we get very uncomfortable, and they're there now. They're just there for us. And so we're in a time where there's a huge amount of fear and chaos, and it's very annoying. And, you know, the hardest thing on a nervous system is chaos. So we're living in this constant state where that is being triggered in us. It's a state of fear, and that's debilitating, not just physically, but on all those other levels. So the practice of holding the tension between those two sides of that polarity is critical right now. And this is what I want to say, I guess, to you, Sedona, is that you don't have to choose between those two sides anymore. Mm-hmm. There's a middle way. We've been talking about this the entire time today, and we've mentioned it on almost all the calls every month. It's the practice of witnessing. It's the practice of neither believing nor disbelieving. It's the practice of being neither attracted nor repulsed. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to remember that this lifetime that we're in right now is different. It's different than all those other lifetimes. And the way that it's different is that it's a lifetime where we're going to be able to resolve this for the first time in a new way. We are going to be able to resolve it consciously in the heart for the first time ever. We're going to resolve it in love. Somehow this is going to happen. We have the knowledge, we have the tools, we have the spiritual skills, we have the experience. We're at the end of the era. We're at graduation time. We have everything we need. So I would say, you know, remembering this is very important to help us get through the time without freaking out and without being so afraid that, uh-oh, here we go again, you know. And remembering that we're being given an opportunity right now to graduate from this game of the tyrant and victim polarity. We're being invited to see that this is beyond the facts, the small truth, the small t truth of the virtual reality. Beyond that, we're being invited to see that we're in this system of duality that is not real. The shadows here are not real. This is not about vanquishing a tyrant. It's not about that. It's about seeing the absolute truth with the capital T. And that is that the dualities of this world, the positive, the negative, the dark and light, the pain and pleasure, none of those things are real. They're a dance, and they're a pattern. And so this victim-tyrant dance, this pattern that's been playing out for millennia, it's been playing out since time immemorial, and it's window dressing. And it's changed with every passing century, different tyrants wearing different costumes, mm-hmm. using different weapons. Light conquers dark, and then dark conquers light, and then light conquers dark again. You know, it's like the seasons, and it's like the sunset and the sunrise, and it just continues. And it all seems so real. But the truth is that none of it's real. Nobody ever died. And we continue to live on, and we always will. And so this is what we're waking up to. We're being asked, we're being invited to complete that game now of victim and tyrant. And, you know, if Leslie, like you say, Sedona, if Leslie asked us to be willing to die for truth, it was definitely with a capital T. It was not a small T. And I'm guessing, her intention was to help us wake up to this fact that there's no such thing as death. There's no end, that we go on and on and on, and we're always evolving and growing as a soul. And her commitment was always to help us remember the absolute truth with a capital T, and that is that we're these immortal souls, and that we're made of love. That her whole message was that that's who we are. We are love. And knowing that is the thing that is worth the game of living and dying for in the 3D reality that we're calling life on planet Earth. So again, we're going to go into this whole thing a lot deeper in the course. And I know we're out of time. We've reached the mark. So I'm going to wrap it up there. But I hope that helps. And if this topic is of interest to you guys, if it's helpful and you are interested in this topic, please join us for the course. I really feel strongly that we're going to take an evolutionary step for each of us individually, but also we're going to do a piece of collective work. There's something that we need to do together. So I invite you to share in that if you feel drawn to it. Barbara, are there more questions? Is there anything more?
I mean, there's a lot, Brad, and there's one more question that you wanted to address that you asked me to remind you about.
Right.
You know, we're already after, and I know you're wanting to do a guided meditation. I'm imagining.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you for the reminder, Barbara, but I feel like we've used up our time. So we'll save some of the questions for next time.
Yeah.
And we can close with a short meditation and a prayer.
And may I just say one word, Brad? This has been
Please.
So wonderful. And what I'm getting Please. So strongly is this is all of our opportunity to take our power back. It's an inside job, not an outside job. And there's so much distraction going on outside that we don't seek our own inner wisdom.
Yes. Right on.
And I'm excited
right
about
here.
The
How
course in October. Please come.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you. Okay, well, Sedona, thank you for that wonderful question, and I thank everybody for your questions. I'm really sorry we didn't get to more today. My apologies, but we'll try to get to them next time. And please continue to write in sharings and questions, which are so important. All right, so I invite you now. We're over our time, so I won't make this long, but let's do have a closure today. And I invite you to get comfortable and close your eyes and take a few long, deep breaths. We've stirred up a lot with the talking, so just get quiet inside again. Do some deep breathing. Breathing in the light. And breathing out anything that got stirred up. Shadows. As you breathe, visualize your Shoshumna, your central core, that luminous tube of light that runs down right in front of your spine. See it there in the center of your body. And focus on that. It's a stabilizing force. And see how it extends below your body through the root chakra and connects all the way down to the core of the earth. And see how it extends out to the top of your head, all the way up out into formless space to the celestial realms. Feel the connection between the core of the earth and outer space. And feel how your body is the connection point. Between heaven and earth. And let's put our attention in the heart chakra, which is the center of the body. So it's the center point between heaven and earth. And again, I invite you, as before, to feel the love in that place, in the heart. And one of the quickest, easiest ways to feel it is to practice that inner smile, where you just turn the corners of your mouth up an eighth of an inch, very little bit, and just feel the love and the joy that's there in your heart. Feel your heart glowing inside your chest like a radiant miniature sun. See it as a special color, maybe it's pink or golden white, whatever you like to give it. The color you like to give it, but see it radiating that love and joy energy inside your chest, filling you up, making you happy. And we call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the Self that we all are. We call on all the beings in the invisible realms who've been surrounding us in the highest love, highest support. And we give thanks. We're so grateful for the gift of this time, the gift of the love that we share, the gift of our heart connection, the gift of these bodies, the gift of the opportunity to connect with truth, with a capital T, the truth of who we are. To remember that we are these beautiful, beautiful spiritual beings having this exquisite human experience in these beautiful bodies on this very beautiful blue, fragile blue planet called Earth. And let's take a moment now to share the love and the light that we've been building during this call with the whole earth. Let's visualize ourselves standing in a circle. I'm sure you don't know everybody on the call, but there are people from all over the world. And so just visualize even the people who are listening to the call in the future, since there's no time and space. Visualize this circle extending beyond time and space. And let's all share our love with each other. Let's put the light from our hearts into the center of our circle. And let's put the earth in there too. Surround the earth with this light of our hearts. See the earth and all its life forms, humans, plants, animals, water, minerals, air, surrounded with light and love, being infused with light and love. Let's send healing energy to everybody, especially those who might be affected by the virus. We bless this virus to its purpose, and we see it achieving that purpose, which is to help us slow down, to help us with a wake-up call, help us stop, remember who we are. And as it achieves its purpose, we see it dissolving into the light, We see this virus merging with this beautiful heart light, dissolving, moving on to its next form. So, we offer once again our gratitude for this time and gratitude for the love that we share, these bodies and the earth and each other. So Leslie and I send you all many blessings from South Africa. We're sending you the white lion energy for this Lion's Gate portal that we're in for the next while. May you feel it. May you be blessed. May it be a powerful time of upliftment for you. And may you use this energy to ascend in consciousness, to rise to your highest, your soul's highest potential. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for showing up and for sharing this time. All our love, and looking forward to seeing you next month. Bye for now.